Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the radio program, Today's Issues. Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Walker Wildman. Walker, what do we got going on our Facebook page?
Well, I posted... first, we're doing Facebook Live, so you can watch the show there. Okay. And I also posted an article earlier about the prayer service, I believe Saturday morning after the inauguration, that Trump attended, Trump and Pence, President
At the National Cathedral.
Yes, and, you know, the pastors that were involved there. And
you had a mix there. You had some Christians and some non-Christian clergy
mm-hmm.
at that one.
Yeah.
The one I went to was solidly Christian.
Yeah.
But they had it's a more ecumenical service or interfaith, I guess you could say, on Saturday morning. How you feel about that, Ed, participating in something like that? You're the president of all the people, so it's representative, I guess, of different religions because America is made up of different religions. But
well, I have no problem with presidents acting like the president of all the people. I mean, there are things that you have to do that you don't agree with, and there'll be other meetings that, you know, the president has to go to that's outside the scope of his personal beliefs. I don't have a problem with that, as long as he makes clear his,
right.
which we don't know, his own...
Well, his actions have been...
Right.
The people he's chosen to surround himself with are Bible-believing Christians, for the most part.
Yeah. For example, you know, when President Bush... This is a sore subject for a lot of Christians, but when President Bush... You know, had an iftar. What do you call it? Iftar dinner during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. I don't have a problem with
Bush or Obama did it every year.
Yeah, he did it every year. But President Bush, who is an outspoken Christian, had a testimony of Christianity.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He said, "Listen, this is you know we do have Muslims here, and I just want to let you know." Same thing for. You know, for Hanukkah, you know, I mean,
yeah.
You just say, well, I'm not Jewish, but, you know, for our Jewish, you know, the people in our country who are Jewish,
right.
You know, you just, you
so
know.
So you're just saying, it's kind of like what John F. Kennedy did as a Roman Catholic reaching out to Baptists, wasn't
right.
it?
Hmm.
Or to non-Catholics. He was basically saying, hey, yes, I'm Roman, I'm a Catholic, but I'm the president of all the people,
mm-hmm.
including people who aren't. So there's a great tradition in our country of presidents. What you want to do is you want to, you're not saying this is, you know, I believe in this religion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're just saying that I recognize as president of all Americans that there are other traditions than the one I celebrate, and I offer respect to you
right.
As president.
And isn't this a great country? It's
right,
a great country
right.
where we can all,
yeah.
you know, worship according to the dictates of
And you can proselytize if you want to.
And you want, if yeah. you want to, and we recognize your right under the Constitution
right.
for religious liberty. So
and also
right. have at it.
Yeah, and also, you know, he's bringing up very well respected men of their faith that respect America and America's laws and our Constitution.
Right.
Different than bringing up someone who's
America haters,
right?
Right.
Who's teaching,
yeah.
you know, that the Constitution is bad,
yeah.
Things like that.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. One quick note: hey, if you want to go with us to Washington D.C. and Mount Vernon on a spiritual heritage tour in June or September, or you want to go with us to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown to see America's earliest stories of America's founding. We'd love to have you join us on any of those trips, spiritual heritage tours, June or September. Just go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com with an S, spiritualheritagetours.com. The itinerary is there. The cost is there. Registration is there. Everything is there for the if you want to go on one of these trips with us in June or September. Steve Jordahl from American Family Radio News is in with us. And onenewsnow.com. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim.
What do you,
and gentlemen.
What do you got for us?
Top of the page right now at onenewsnow.com. A couple things I'd like to draw your attention to. Onenewsnow.com, you can read about pastors' look at Trump as God's instrument of grace. This is Dr. David Jeremiah, Jack Graham, and Greg Laurie, who were at the prayer event on Saturday. I believe it was the one that you were at.
It was. No, they were at the one on.
Were they at the one?
Friday morning. They were Saturday morning.
Okay.
At the National Cathedral.
Cathedral. Yeah. Well, anyway, they are reflecting on that. And then we also have a column by historian David Barton, Presidential Protesters Do Not Understand America. And
right. What he's saying is that's a great article to go and read by David Barton because it's at onenewsnow.com. Are you going to link that, Walker, at our Facebook page?
Yes.
What David Barton is saying is that we are not a democracy. Now, I know some of you.
What?
You said, what? We're not a democracy. No, well, we are a form of democracy.
Right.
But we're not a true democracy. If we were a true democracy, we'd be voting on everything every day. Okay? We
wouldn't.
Every person would. We are a constitutional republic, which is different than a pure democracy. We have representatives who we vote on to handle our
Yeah, and it's business. Just simply called a representative democracy.
Yeah.
So the
Or
people,
a constitutional republic.
And the word democracy comes from the Greek word demos, D-E-M-O-S, which means the people. So the people vote for their representatives. Their representatives go to, right. In this case, for the federal government, to Washington, D.C., and represent them. So we all don't have to stop what we're doing and vote on every law.
So these people who say we're living in democracy and Hillary Clinton got more votes than Donald Trump, and so she's the legitimate winner. No, we have a electoral college process, which our founders gave us for good reasons, and so we're not. That's again a part of a representative form of government. But anyway, David Barton writes an excellent story on this. If you want to go and read it, about at onenewsnow.com, or you can go to Facebook. For today's issues, and we link the story there. All right, Steve?
A couple other things happened in the last hour. President Trump has been signing away his a lot of executive orders. One of them has cut us out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP, which is NAFTA going east or going west. Going to
a president has unilateral authority to cancel a trade deal?
Well, had we hadn't really signed on.
We had not ratified it.
Yes.
So it was in the negotiation. I think there's probably some legislation that was pending before Congress, which they would have the right to continue to pursue, but I don't think they will under a Republican rule. So we are effectively he can essentially because President Obama's put us into it by executive order.
Right.
Mr. Trump can take us out of it the same way.
Live by the sword, die by the sword, I guess. Huh?
He is also pledging on cutting regulations and rules by about 70%, which is just huge.
What?
Yeah.
I'm going to say that again, Stephen. You respond, what?
Yes.
Yes.
70%.
Donald Trump, president-elect. No. I got to stop that. President Trump says he wants to cut government regulations by 75%.
Or more, he said.
Huh?
Or more. 75% or more.
Another thing, and Steve, you may be about to cover this, so excuse me if you are, but he also, one of his executive orders was regarding a federal hiring freeze. So the federal government has
really?
To freeze on hiring more employees. This is according to the Associated Press. And also he signed an executive order called the Mexico City Policy, which I believe prevents federal foreign
aid from being used for abortion.
Correct. Yes.
U.S. money cannot go to foreign countries to help with abortions.
Right. So the Mexico City policy is a very good pro-life executive order.
Yeah.
That President Trump. What do you think about this 75% regulation cut? That's he can't do that.
Well, I guess we're going to find out exactly what Trump can do and what he can't do in the weeks and months ahead. Now, we've all heard. I'm not a businessman, so I just I watched this kind of debate, you know, over the years, and I said, okay, well, I guess you guys, businessmen, you guys know what you're talking about. There's always been a lot of talk, the federal regulations, and I've known some small business people who say, yeah, the forms we have to fill out, the people we have to hire to keep us filled out with all the forms, and the regulations, if you're going to make this product, you got to have it. So a lot of that costs money. And anytime a business is spending money to keep up with regulations, they can't hire people with that money or expand their business. So the argument has always been a lot of this regulation, some of this regulation is useful and important. A lot of it is just red tape that bureaucrats pass so that they keep their jobs, and it's tying our hands. That's why the economy can't expand. So
here's what happens. Congress passes a bill. Let's say they passed a bill that said every business had to wear red. Everybody in a business had to wear red on Tuesdays.
Right.
You can't just say pass a law and just let it happen. You have to have in the Federal Register, you have to write some kind of detailed steps as to how you expect businesses to comply with those. Do they have to buy their own red clothes, or will the government supply them?
Does maroon qualify?
Exactly. Does it have to, you know, is Tuesday afternoon okay as opposed to Tuesday morning? So you have all these regulations that have to be written around every federal law that Congress passes. Well, it's the executive branch, the president's branch, that really writes those regulations. He's the executive. He executes the laws that Congress passes. He tells the government, tells the world how they are supposed to execute these laws via these regulations. I heard Mr. Trump speaking this morning, President Trump, and he was very concerned about some of the regulations that, for example, that put a straitjacket on businesses with regard to environmental concerns, with regard to OSHA and safety. Now, he's very clear. He's a big fan of the environment. He doesn't want to kill the baby harp seals, nor make polar bears lonely. But he doesn't want them to be so restrictive that we can't do business. And the same thing goes with worker safety. He's not in favor of anybody getting hurt. But some of the regulations are so onerous that it costs money that people are not allowed to start. They can't afford to start businesses. They can't afford to build plants. Already this morning we were hearing that Foxconn, a Taiwanese electronics maker, is planning a $7 billion investment in the United States with plants. Kroger supermarkets are going to hire 100,000 people. I'm sorry, 10,000 jobs, all because the regulations that have been imposed upon businesses are kind of...
Really?
They're anticipating...
That's something tangible.
Yeah,
you can
picture.
I was reading a story about Donald Trump this morning, president of the United States, meeting with business leaders, and he's going to meet with union leaders today in our nation's capital. And he said, this story from CNBC says, President Donald Trump told business leaders on Monday he believes he can cut regulations by 70% or, quote, maybe more. At the White House with 10 senior executives, he repeated his campaign pledges to roll back corporate rules, arguing that they have, quote, gotten out of control. And then he also said, listen to this. I'm only laughing because I never believed I would see the day.
This is not business as usual.
No. It's
actually, I think it is business as you, for the first time.
Yeah. But he said, Donald Trump said this morning, we're going to be cutting regulation massively. I mean, what I'm saying is, I don't know what all the left is going to choose to fight him on, because every day he says something that causes their head to explode. And my question is, how many heads do you have?
Okay. Hydra.
Because that can explode. Because when you say the expression, we're going to be cutting regulation massively, you know, liberal, they love regulations.
Right. Because they believe in big and bigger,
control
and
by
bigger
government.
We'll tell you how to live.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll see what happens.
Well, the thing is, if this happens this rapidly, which it appears it's going to happen rapidly, you don't have time, if you're a secular progressive, to gather the troops. you gather the troops, but by the time you do get ready to protest and contact somebody, it's done. And and he's moved on to something else. And
I spoke
it's going to be frustrating for him.
I spoke with a friend of mine this morning who's a crisis communications expert. He's a PR guy, basically, and has handled a number of Christian organizations' crises when something happens. How do you proceed? And he said it's very interesting. Mr. Trump tweets out something about the size of the crowd at the inauguration. He tweets out something taking reporters on about this or that. And the media goes berserk. So his right hand is tweeting out these nonsensical, which to us seem minor things. And his left hand is slashing regulations, is getting people confirmed, is doing the business of government while everybody's distracted over here with the nonsense.
Yeah.
He's smarter than many people think.
He said this too, and then today at this business roundtable he had at the White House, what we want to do, he said, is bring back manufacturing to our country. That doesn't mean we don't trade, because we do trade. We want to make products, our products here. And to quote, you know, this has been something that I've heard economists, of which I'm not one, talk about, and conservative business people, is that we don't make stuff here like we used to. We have become we're predominantly a consumer-driven economy in America. We buy stuff, and we don't make stuff like we used to. And because we make stuff in China or Mexico or Vietnam or wherever, you know. And I don't think Mr. Trump's totally against that. I don't understand him to say that. He's saying we want to even the playing field here in terms of trade, but my point is, you don't want to become an exclusively consumer-driven economy, because
no,
that's scary. If that's what you if you don't make stuff,
right,
then you are at the mercy of people who sell things.
Yeah,
if all you do is buy, then the people who sell things set the prices, and there you
got it. You got to have a strong manufacturing. Now, do we get back to the golden age of steel in America? Probably not, because other kinds of textiles and those kinds of things, maybe not. But I think what Donald Trump's trying to do is stop the hemorrhaging and forward think. He does want to bring some jobs back, but he wants to forward think on how we can keep jobs here that would otherwise leave, i.e. Ford, Carrier, and some of the other things we've seen happen.
And, you know, the economies of the world are changing, at least the developed economies. There is a lot of automation. There's a lot of robots, you know, doing
McDonald's are about to use robots to make a hamburger.
Yeah, and they can do it efficiently. So there has to be somebody who can, or an administration, that help us get to a place where people still have jobs. It's not just a service economy. We're not just consumers. We do make things, even though a lot of it may be done with automation. That seems to be coming for the industry. I've read where they have computers who can do the job of a journalist. They write stories. They write symphonies. I'm not saying this stuff is good, but that kind of thing is coming. And we need some sort of a bridge to that kind of world.
Very good.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. That's what you're listening to. Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Eva Tagliano and Steve Jordahl from American Family News and OneNewsNow.com. Walker Wildman is keeping our Facebook page live and active and posted. What'd you post?
Well, I just posted this Associated Press article that Trump has put a freeze on all federal employees except the military. So the military Department of Defense
can a hiring freeze?
Yes, a hiring freeze. So the Department of Defense can continue hiring. The Pentagon can continue hiring, but all other federal agencies cannot hire any more employees as of today.
Now, he said Donald Trump, President of the United States, again, you got to start get used to calling him that. President Trump said the other day, he wanted to reduce the size of the federal government by, was it 5 or 10%?
I don't remember.
Remember that?
Yeah.
But I guess you would start by having a hiring freeze.
Yeah.
Well, because these things normally expand. People hire, and you can't get rid of them. So.
All right, Steve, what else you got, my friend?
Walker actually turned me on to this story. There's a great article, actually, at, of all places, the New York Times, by a lady named Asra Nomani. She is a an Arab-American, and she is tired of identity politics. She is a woman who had to decide whether to go to the inauguration because she voted for Donald Trump or whether to go to the Women's March. And she decided to look into how many of the groups of the Women's March had links to George Soros. Plenty is was her research. At least 56 of the march's partners, including key partners like Planned Parenthood, were funded or have close relationships with George Soros. They include Planned Parenthood, MoveOn.org, the National Action Network, ACLU, the Center for Constitutional Rights, Human Rights Watch, our good friends at Southern Poverty Law Center, CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relationships. So all these people who are pretty virulently left are funded by George Soros. They were the people behind this Women's March on Washington on Saturday. And I actually printed out the whole spreadsheet, all
so
of these groups.
So, you know, I jokingly, you know, every time you see a protest or these anarchists burning things down, I always jokingly say, well, it must have been paid for by George Soros. But you're saying literally the march on Saturday was paid for by George Soros.
56. Now, there were 402 groups. 59 of them, actually, had close ties with Open Society Foundation or with George Soros. So it's not like a majority, but what it is, is the key ones.
Yeah,
right. The ones that set the policy, the ones that said to the pro-life women's group, you can't come.
Right. And the ones that show up on talk shows.
Right.
They have a spokesperson that shows up on talk shows before and after this march.
Ms. Nomani also points out that what this means is that unlike Friday's March for Life in Washington, which will draw similar numbers to this march, which was a lot of people came up for the March for Women. It was a lot, like 500,000.
And a lot of cities, a number of cities around the country.
The March for Life will happen on Friday, and that is a groundswell event. There are groups
That's an annual event.
It's an annual event, but it's group. There are groups like National Right to Life and other groups that are pro-life that help facilitate this. But really, it's a bunch of groundswell grassroots people coming together because they believe in the right to life. Mm-hmm. This the Women's March on Washington on Saturday was a top-down, organized, let's muster the troops type of a thing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't necessarily a
So is Friday's event getting any George Soros funding?
Pro-life march?
I'm pretty sure not.
All right, we're about out of time. Steve, what do you guys do at One News Now? Can people get a daily news alert from
they
you guys?
They can. You can sign up at onenewsnow.com. You can go. We'll send you every day. We'll send you the top stories, and we'll send you a poll question, which I don't know what today's is.
But that's just one email a day.
Just one.
So if you want news from a Christian perspective that's also comprehensive. You cover national and international news.
Yep.
You'll send that to their inbox once a day, and you don't have to mess with the liberal media, right?
That's right. All the news that's fit to read.
So go to onenewsnow.com and sign up.
Onenewsnow.com.
All right, onenewsnow.com. Check that out. That's our news service that we provide. Steve Jordahl. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Hey, Ed, can you see if we can slash regulations on our show by 75%?
I'm going to try. Walker, let's get on that.
Okay. Walker, you and Ed work on that and see if you can't slash our...
Sign a few executive orders?
Yeah, slash our...
Slash regulations.
Slash regulations.
I like that.
By 75% here. All right, folks, thanks for joining us for this program. The Bible teaching program of Dr. Alistair Begg is straight ahead. Then the news, then Janet Mefford, and on with your day here on American Family Radio. Take care, everybody.